It was the late 90s. Lots of things back then had a heavy sci-fi-ness to them. Aliens. For some reason, the 90s had a real boner for aliens. We talked about this in the Alien Egg episode and how it was a common theme due to the approaching millennium. Anyway, Tamagotchis were no different. The toys were invented by Aki Maeda and Akihito Yokoi. Sorry for butchering your names if you're listening. They both actually won the IG Nobel Prize for Economics back in 1997. The inventors have been dubbed as the mother and father of Tamagotchi. This statement is a hat tip to the fact that the toy is a virtual pet simulator where the user has to raise the alien from an egg. The story goes that Tamagotchis are a species from another planet who deposited eggs on Earth in order to get an idea of what it's like here. Our two inventors were both already doing well within the toy industry. Yokoi being the president of the Wiz company in Japan and Maeda working in the sales and marketing division of Bandai. Now, there are a few versions of the story in which the pair came up with the idea for Tamagotchi. However, a common one seems to be that the creation was inspired by a TV commercial about a boy who wanted his pet turtle to accompany him on a trip away, but whose mother wouldn't allow this, for obvious reasons, I'm sure. With Yokoi being a lover of animals and an avid pet keeper, coupled with the creative genius that helped gain the responsibility of coming up with new handheld game ideas, the invention of a new portable pet was brewing. PC users in Japan were already caring for digital pet fish, and Yokoi thought this idea could be adapted to a small screen set on a wristwatch. Handheld virtual pet cats and dogs were already being sold, but these lacked the responsibility that came with owning a real pet. They were simply games. Our inventors wanted to create a virtual pet that couldn't just be paused or turned off. They wanted it to be realistic, needing regular attention and food. Yokoi wanted those who brought the digital companion to actually have to care for it. The digital pet would sleep at night, get hungry during the day, need medicine when it was sick, and if the owners neglected its need, the pet would die. The invention was named Tamagotchi. Tamago, in Japanese, means egg, and the chi is taken from the word watch, or its Japanese equivalent, ochi. Having the device set on a wristwatch was quickly abandoned in favour of the egg-shaped keychain. The device sported three small buttons on the screen of only 32 by 16 pixels. And although that doesn't sound particularly thrilling these days, kids were completely taken by the product. The functions and features of the CyberPet were split into simple categories, with the main aim being keeping the creature alive and watching it grow and mature. As this happened, the image on the screen would change. Hungry and happy meters would need to be topped up by feeding and playing with your Tamagotchi, without allowing them to deplete to zero. The sooner you realised hearts were down to zero, the better. Quality care is key, so make sure you don't overfeed your pet or spoil it with an excess amount of treats. You have to be on the ball with cleaning up its digital poop, curing sickness, and turning off the lights for nap time. Good care is responding to discipline calls and not ignoring them. The discipline function differs between releases, but it boiled down to similar results. Missed calls equals bad care. Discipline in the Tamagotchi world is scolding the pet for bad behaviour. Bad behaviour could come in forms of them asking for attention when the meters are still full, asking for food when it isn't hungry, or even refusing to eat. This feature, and its correct use, will influence what the pet grows into. And on the subject of what they grow into, in the first generation of products, the user starts with an egg. This egg changes to a small blob-like creature, which grows slightly bigger in its next step. On its third stage in the evolutionary chain, it becomes more complex, either sprouting little limbs or a type of beak. Again, which one of these changes that takes place is down to the level of care provided by the owner. Step 4 comes with some big changes. the virtual pet grows into its penultimate form, which is one of six sprites. These are slightly more adult or grown-up versions of the previous juvenile stages. The final form is achieved by giving the Tamagotchi good to perfect care. Because the pets needed constant care and even their virtual poop scooping, this meant that children would risk getting into trouble at school in order to keep their Tamagotchis alive during class time. This, much like all of the other cool toys of the 1990s, led to schools swiftly banning them. Tamagotchis made waves after their release in Japan in 1996, and the popularity spread to the USA the following year. The toy blurred the lines between the real and digital worlds. The whole virtual reality aspect of the device, coupled with the inability to pause the gameplay, was a new concept. Although many online multiplayer games today follow this idea, back then it was unheard of. Video games back then followed a hyper-masculine marketing campaign. Consoles like Nintendo were reported to be in aisles in Toys R Us that were solely dedicated to toys for boys. Tamagotchis, however, were the complete opposite. This product was marketed towards girls. People who had been primarily ignored for over a decade were finally being provided access to the video game industry. But this wasn't a bid for equality. The reason it was marketed towards girls was due to gender stereotypes. The idea was that the toy appealed to girls' stereotypical traits and their motherly instinct to nurture. Unfortunately, if you were female and wanted to play video games, you must assume the caregiver role. Tamagotchi's creators took their idea and decided to make a more masculine version specifically aimed at boys. This creation went on to become Digimon, a subject I'm sure we will one day cover. Although original Tamagotchis were marketed to girls, many boys also owned and played with Tamagotchis, myself included. Kids would be completely glued to these things, and as a result, an addiction specialist by the name of Peltonimi raised concerns. He acknowledged in his work that both children and adults could become overly attached to their digital companions and show over-the-top emotional responses when interacting with them. In Cornwall, UK, a pet cemetery fenced off a dedicated section for the burial of electronic pets. Yes, due to popular requests, the cemetery allowed people to bury their beloved cyber pets. The cemetery owner claimed that people had travelled from all over the globe just to bury their Tamagotchis after they had passed. Noteworthy places included Switzerland, Germany, and even as far as Canada. I don't know about you, but I just reset mine. The virtual pets would eventually die from old age, with their lifespan differing between characters. As they grew older, they would lose hearts at a faster rate. Severely neglecting your pet could mean that it would die prematurely. Oh. The Tamagotchi brand is still going strong and continues to pump out products, most of which fit into their new product categories of Tamagotchi Original, Nano, On, Pix, and Uni. Clicking around on the Bandai website, the original Tamagotchi section is described with the following synopsis. The original Tamagotchi is back with the same programming as 1997 and a variety of new stylish shells. I'm guessing that this is for millennials to relive their childhood virtual pet husbandry, or for parents to give a toy to their offspring that's of the same sort that they once loved and cared for. The Tamagotchi Nanos have a wide range of popular culture themes. The Wizarding World ones are Harry Potter based, where you raise a magical creature and can play mini games. There are others to choose from too, such as Jurassic Park or Star Wars themed Tamagotchis. The Nano range seems to look similar to the originals, although come with theme specific mini games, characters, and shells. The ones in the Tamagotchi On categories feature a full colour LCD display. The devices are much bigger and have features that include being able to link your device to other machines, so your pet can leave its egg and meet with others. The Pix range allows you to take photos with your virtual pet device, as it has a built-in camera. Tamagotchi Uni has gone back to the original idea of having a strap-like wristwatch, and your pets can meet others for playdates and can even get married. Crazy! From where I'm sitting, it certainly looks like the brand is doing well and still has traction today. I think that most millennials look back on these little toy egg keychains with a certain fondness. I'm sure that even now, as adults, they would be thrilled to receive a virtual pet as a stocking filler at Christmas, as these toys unlock a great feeling from the past. Just looking at the packaging and the way that they're designed unlocks some weird childhood desire in me. When I was looking through some images, I found one that was wrapped in that coloured plastic that was translucent. What was it about that era and electronics being housed in see-through plastic? I guess something about being able to see the wires and the inner workings appealed to the sci-fi loving kids of that time. Just thinking about it now gives me memories of all the electronics I had that were like this and makes the back of my teeth feel strange for some reason. It reminds me of old fruit pastels, video games and long car journeys. Now that's what I call nostalgia. Write to me and tell me about your experiences with your Tamagotchis. You can reach me on Twitter, now X, by searching at Vivid Recall, or one word. There you can suggest future topics that you want to hear about. Make sure you subscribe and follow the podcast and hit the bell notification on Spotify so you don't miss future releases. And here's a taster of what's in store next time. Next time on Vivid Recall. In 1998, the first commercially available robot was sold to the masses, but nobody knew the impact this would have on the world. Limited stock meant that parents would fight during the holiday season so they could bring one home for Christmas. It was said to have a mind of its own. It would appear to learn English and recognize others of its kind. It would wake you in the night screaming its own language. A robotic companion known as Furby made waves in the 90s, but in the next installment of Vivid Recall, you'll find out that there was more to these creatures than you could have ever imagined. What could the Furby do? Find out in the next exciting episode filled with nostalgia. The Vivid Recall podcast was written and produced by me, Andre T. Kemp. If you want to see the sources of this episode, all are listed in the show's description. Plus there you'll find some links to some other cool stuff. Thanks a lot for listening, and I'll catch you next time.